Is Josh Heupel a top five SEC head football coach? Some people think he is. Some people think he doesn't. What's the Locked On Vols thing? We're going to discuss that, rank the head coaches, the quarterbacks, here on today's show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for being here. Shout out everydayers and making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. We're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. How do you become an everydayer? Well, show up tomorrow and we'll give you that status everydayer here on Locked On Vols by subscribing to Locked On Vols, the YouTube channel, and of course, finding us wherever you get your audio podcast. Appreciate you guys being here. Again, I'm out of town this week, so pre-recording some episodes, and I had some good guests on so far this week. Got a good guest on tomorrow, and here to hold us over until we get to tomorrow. It is Logan Ward. If you guys don't know who he is, Logan Ward's at 99.1 The Sports Animal with Tyler and Will in the afternoons. He was with Eric and Brian for a while, and then finally got out of that mess. And so, congrats to Logan Ward for that. But what's up, dude?
Yeah, dude, it's nice to sleep in now.
It's beautiful, man. I did a radio hit on the day that I'm actually recording this. I did a radio hit earlier in the morning, and the producer was like, "What's it like to not do morning radio?" And I'm like, "Man, I woke up, took a shower, making some coffee, going into the home office. It's just it's bliss. It's amazing." So I do miss radio, but I do not miss waking up early in the morning. What I want to do today, Logan, is here in segment one, I want to go through our top five quarterbacks in the SEC. I want to have a compelling conversation about it. Segment two, I want to rank the head coaches in the SEC. I will have to go fast on that one because, of course, there's 14. But, you know, we see this publication says this, this publication says that. It's fun. It's always a good conversation. And then in segment three, we can talk about Tennessee in this upcoming season. But Logan, let's hear from you first. If you have any honorable mentions, you can list them as well. But let's go in reverse order, power poll style. Give me your top five quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference.
Number five, I'm going to go with Spencer Rattler. Now, this might be a bit of a hot take considering what we saw from, I guess, the first nine games of last season, but then the last four games, the guy looked very solid. Oddly enough, what was his breakout performance came against Tennessee and Columbia, and we all know, unfortunately, how that went for Tennessee. I have him number five. If he continues to play at that rate, clearly he's not going to play the way he did against Tennessee, because if he did, he's the best college quarterback of all time and is the first overall pick next April. That's not going to happen. I have Spencer Rattler, number five. Number four, I have Will Rogers. I think it's unfortunate what I'm about to say. If it wasn't for the tragic passing of Mike Leach, arguably this guy could be number one. Passing the ball for insane amount of yardage, insane amount of touchdowns, literally not a lot of interceptions considering how many passes he is throwing. I have Will Rogers sitting there at number four. Number three, I have Devin Leary. Maybe this is a hot take, but let me transfer you back to about a year ago from now. We all knew who probably the top four quarterbacks were going to be in the NFL draft taken just, a couple of weeks ago. It was going to be Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. That turned out to be the case. Number five, some people had Hendon Hooker. A couple of people had some other guys out west, but for a lot of people, it was Devin Leary. I think him going to Kentucky. I'm also going to put this on Mark Stoops. That was a bad offensive line last year. I'm going to trust Mark Stoops and say that their offensive line is going to be a whole lot better this season. I have Devin Leary sitting there at number three. Number two, I have KJ Jefferson. Now, there's a big but when it comes with KJ Jefferson. Just pure talent, he might be the most talented quarterback in the entire SEC. But do we trust him to play all 12 games in the regular season? I mean, he's been hurt countless amount of times in his 3 years as a starter down in Fayetteville. I have him number two. When he is at his peak, he might be the best quarterback in this conference. And the number one, I have Jaden Daniels. This is a true dual threat type of quarterback. Yes, he was sacked a bunch last year. The LSU offensive line was not great at all. He hit his stride after that Alabama game. He beat Alabama last year, a really good defense for the Crimson Tide last year. I think the way that he ended the season, we're going to see a whole lot more of that this year. I have Jaden Daniels of LSU, my number one quarterback in the SEC.
All right, so you have number five, Spencer Rattler. Number four, Will Rogers. Number three, Devin Leary. Number two, KJ Jefferson. And number one, you have Jaden Daniels, right?
Yes.
I see no Joseph Milton there.
Joe Milton is a tough one to rank. If we're going off talent, I think Jaden Daniels, KJ Jefferson, Joe Milton are going away probably the most talented quarterbacks, just physically, well, just looking at them. I would throw Milrow in there too.
I mean, if we're opening the doors for anybody in this club, I mean, Spencer Rattler's in that conversation too, for sure.
Sure. Joe Milton is tough to rank. We've only seen him, Kaner, start four games here in Knoxville. You know, one against Bowling Green, one against a really good Pitt team, which he left injured, an SEC team, quote unquote, Vanderbilt, which I don't think really counts, and then a Clemson in an Orange Bowl, which I think people are holding the Orange Bowl just a little bit too high, quite frankly. The first half was a little bit sluggish, but hey, maybe that's to be expected. It was only his fourth start, and Clemson had a really good defense. In the second half, I think that's what we're going to see a lot from Joe Milton. I think he is going to be really good this upcoming season for Josh Heupel and the Vols, but I don't know that. I think at his peak, he could be the best quarterback in the SEC. I just don't know it yet. I want to see it on the field. Ask me after UTSA, and I can give you a better answer.
All right, I'm going to give you my top five real quick. I'm going to start with an honorable mention, and man, you mentioned him. He was much higher on your list than he is on mine. I love this guy. I do. I loved him at NC State. I was talking him up last offseason. I mean, he was in the conversation literally as one of the best quarterbacks in the nation last year. I mean, he had what, Logan, I mean, don't look it up for me, but help me out here. I think he had like 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions coming into last year in his sophomore season or whatever the case was, or junior season, whatever it was. I mean, he was that good. He took a big step back last year. There's no doubt about it.
And
that's why he's looking for a new home and a better situation. You pair him with Liam Combe, and if that offensive line can get better for Kentucky, you know, Kentucky's offense, everything they wanted in Will Levis, they're going to get in Devin Leary for sure. So he's going to be my honorable mention, but I am a big fan of him. I've been a fan of him before he came to the SEC, but I think that he can be decent. He's my honorable mention. Number five, I'll go Joe Milton. For a lot of the reasons you said, that's why I have him this low. If you go from a pure talent and you know, prospective kind of ranking, like he's potential ranking, I mean, he would be number one. He's Cam Newton. I mean, he's bigger than Cam Newton, right? He's actually a couple pounds lighter than Cam Newton now. He lost about 10 pounds this offseason. But anyway, Joe Milton's got it all. And I understand mop-up duty. I understand it was Vanderbilt. And I understand he had a month to prepare for Clemson. I get all that. We're not going to truly know who Joe Milton is until we see a start out week after week after week. But I just think in what I saw last year, I think the dude's gotten better, and I think that he's more comfortable in his own skin and the system. I think all that, and this is his team. He is the leader, and I think being BFFs with Hendon Hooker helped him tremendously as a football player and as a person, as a leader. So I'll go Joe Milton number five. Spencer Rattler is going to be number four, and he's ahead of Joe Milton because one, I've seen him play more. Two, he's been more consistent throughout his college career, even though it's been bad at times. I think the upside is as high, if not maybe even higher than Joe Milton. I mean, Spencer Rattler was, guys, he was the second coming in 2020, if we remember, right? He had the Heisman Trophy before the 2021 season began. Yeah. Do we remember? Everything that he did against Tennessee, you're right. If he did that consistently, he'd be the best quarterback to ever live.
Yeah, ever.
That's not going to happen. But something clicked for him against the Volunteers, against Clemson the next week, against Notre Dame. He played his best football against some of the best challengers, you know, last season. And so can you get something like that this year? If so, Spencer Rattler is going to be huge for South Carolina. So I'll have Rattler at number four, but I'm not buying it completely just yet. Will Rogers is going to be number three, and I think it's because what's Mississippi State going to look like this year? Will Rogers, everybody wants to talk about system quarterbacks and everything for Tennessee. That's the definition of it right there. For Rodgers and in that system with Mike Leach, but kind of what's that system going to look like now? But a dude that's been here forever, big fan of Will Rodgers. He's the number three. Number two is KJ Jefferson. Dude's a stud, but injuries have plagued him. Can he be healthy? And number one, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. I think he's a really good dual threat athlete. I think that he's commanding one of the better offenses and one of the better teams in the Southeastern Conference. That's kind of what I'd look like there. Honorable mention, Devin Leary of Kentucky. Formerly of NC State. Number five is Joe Milton. Number four is Spencer Rattler. Number three is Will Rogers. Two, KJ Jefferson. One is Jaden Daniels. This is how I see it entering the 2023 season. But again, a guy like Joe Milton with his upside and his potential, just got to see it week to week to week. And I mean, he hadn't played in 2 years, so it'd be right. Hard to kind of rank him higher on this list, but I do think he is in the top five. What about head coaches around the Southeastern Conference? We're going to get into that here when Locked On Vols returns. But hey, if you're looking for a delicious snack but don't want all those sugars and calories, let me tell you about Built Bar. Don't sacrifice taste for health, because with Built, the bars and the puff, you're not doing that, because it's great for you. And it's also really, really tasty. Why? It's 100% real chocolate. It's covered in 100% real chocolate. Cookies and cream, churro, peanut butter brownie, all that type of stuff. Specialty flavors. And you can order your favorite one at Built.com. Maybe see it at Sam's or Walmart. But it's covered in 100% real chocolate, but it's got 17 grams of protein. Only 4 grams of sugar, only 130 calories. Again, real chocolate, only 130 calories. Only 4 grams of sugars, 17 grams of protein. Just incredible, incredible, incredible. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. They're staying in business. And now you can go purchase some Built Bars or Puffs at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. As always, you can go online to Built.com and order your specialty flavor as well. Go ahead and check it out today. This is the perfect snack for the summertime. That is Built Bars at Built.com. Welcome back into your Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys being here. I'm Eric Kane. We got Logan Moore joining us here today. A fun conversation about ranking quarterbacks in segment number one. We're going to get into head coaching rankings in the SEC in segments two and three. I'm going to go two segments because, of course, there's 14 guys to talk about. But before we get into that, Logan, you know, you and I were talking here during the break. I mean, it's challenging, right? I mean, there's a whole lot of quarterback turnover in the Southeastern Conference. Your two big powers, your two big bullies in the SEC, breaking in new quarterbacks.
The two favorites.
I don't think that they're going anywhere, but they are breaking in new quarterbacks. I think from a talent perspective, Georgia's getting a whole lot better in terms of just, you know, quarterback overall. But it's interesting. It's interesting to talk about some rankings and quarterbacks in the SEC and not mention Georgia or Alabama.
And here's the thing. I think with that right there, what you just mentioned, as you said, we didn't mention Alabama or Georgia, which oddly enough, the last several years you would have. I also said to you, you know, during the break there, outside of KJ Jefferson, Jaden Daniels, Will Rogers, I don't have much of a clue how to rank 4 through 14. I mean, those last 10 quarterbacks you could put in, I don't want to say any, you know, order clearly, because you're not going to, you know, put the guy at Missouri, help me, Cook. Yeah. You're not going to rank him, you know, number five, because that's just insane. But I do think, since we are seeing Georgia and Bama take a step back, you would imagine at the quarterback position, Alabama just, you know, lost one of the best, you know, college quarterbacks the last
Alabama,
you know,
will
100% so years.
Take 10 steps back from
sure,
Bryce Young. Yeah.
Sure, sure. And hey, the guy that they just got from Notre Dame, trust me, that guy's not the answer. Now, maybe Carson Beck at Georgia can, you know, be, you know, I think he's more talented. He looks better than what Stetson Bennett is. Is he going to be as good as Stetson? Because that guy just produced, even though he wasn't that talented. Who knows? But I think that leaves a whole bunch of opportunity for teams, you know, in that second to, you know, third tier, like your Tennessees, like your Ole Miss, LSU's, Arkansas's, South Carolina's, Florida's. I think that leaves a lot of opportunity. One of those quarterbacks has an off day. Can the rest of their team make up for it? I don't know.
It'll be interesting, man. A couple of years ago, and this is the beautiful thing about college sports, you know, you reload. So it will be interesting. You're losing
a lot
of quarterbacks.
I'll go on the record, though, saying that Alabama and Georgia is going to be just fine. I'll make that hot take today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – I mean, Alabama, like, I do – I – I don't think we're seeing Alabama from the last 5 or 6 years.
No, we're not.
But that doesn't mean I don't think Alabama can win the West. I mean, LSU might win it, but Alabama is still recruiting at an elite level. The chinks in the armor are not breaking that program with Nick Saban right now. They're still really, really good. Now, Georgia's passed them. I mean, clearly. Georgia's passed them. And I think LSU's coming, but, you know, like not having a guy like Bryce Young last year, you would have lost, you know, 2 more games. Let's get into head coaching rankings. Let's start at 14, and let's go. So, I mean, you just kind of go back and forth real quick, especially with these last couple. 14, I think we can both agree. I don't want to speak for you, but that's going to be Zach Arnett, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Brand new rookie head coach, thrust into action, poor guy, horrible situation. He was going to be a head coach sooner or later, but obviously this is, accelerate a little bit. Number 13, I got Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, but I think Clark Lee's doing a pretty decent job at Vanderbilt. I think he did a lot of good things in 2022.
No, yeah. No doubt about it. He beat Florida and another SEC team that's escaping me right now. But Clark Lee, what's the ceiling for the two guys at the bottom? I don't know. I think Zach Arnett has a higher ceiling just because Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. But
I agree.
I think Clark Lee's done a fine job at Vanderbilt through 2 seasons.
I think that defense is going to be much better this year as well.
Sure.
There's some people thinking that it could be a top 6-7 defense in the SEC. I'm not going to go that far, but you know, we'll see. Number 12 is going to be interesting. I want to hear who you have at number 12 right now.
I have Eli Drinkwitz.
Okay, me too. Me too. I think Eli's a I think Eli's a pretty decent offensive mind. I think he's limited with what he can do, a lot like Clark Lee, you know, playing football in Missouri. But welcome to the SEC, right? I mean, literally everybody else in the SEC could run circles around him right now. I just think that's kind of where you are.
Here's the thing. I think anywhere other than Missouri in this conference outside of Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, I think he would be a very successful head coach. I think he would be in the same category as maybe, I don't want to say Sam Pittman because that guy's done an incredible job at Fayetteville the last several years. I think he would be in that same category as Shane Beamer, a guy, he's a cycle type of coach. He's going to go 7-5, 8-4 most years, but whenever he gets his classes together, that 1 year you're going to see 9-3, 10-2 potentially. I think he's a great head coach.
Can we say that though? Because I think right now, I wouldn't want to as a Tennessee fan, but I think right now you couldn't not do this. Shane Beamer's in that Josh Heupel conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
I think so. I
don't know about that.
Well, think about this. So they both had the same record in year one. In year two, I think what was South Carolina? 9-3? Something like that?
It's like 8-4, 9-3, yeah.
9-3, something like that. Okay, so maybe not. Obviously, Tennessee had a couple more wins than they did in year number two, but I'll have to go double check on that. But they were hired in the same cycle. You know, they've jumped up and got big time wins. Fan bases couldn't be happier with the situation. I just think kind of like right now, Josh Heupel outperforming Shane Beamer a little bit. Beamer obviously got the better of him this past season, but like I think anytime you mention one, you might be mentioning the other because they came in at the same time. Maybe I'm reading into that too much, and maybe people will hate me for saying that, but I think that they're kind of linked a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's go to Billy Napier at number 11. That's who I have. Well, who do you have at 11?
Napier as well.
Napier, and I know it's a Tyler big year is for in love him. With Billy Napier, just loves him so much. They were putting Billy Napier ahead of a lot of other coaches in the SEC last year. I'm like, dude, hadn't coached in the SEC yet. What are you doing?
I was one of those people.
Yeah, rebuild down there. I think that you're looking at 7, maybe 8 wins in Gainesville this year. You know, how patient will they be? I think with all the talent last year, it was a little disappointing kind of how they were not better than what they should have been, I guess.
I would agree with that. Their over-under win total, 5.5. It's a tough schedule. Utah week 1. I think Napier has a high ceiling there. I just don't know if we're going to see it. We know wins and losses this upcoming season.
Well, hammer that over for sure. Absolutely.
Oh, I would say so as well. Yeah.
Number 10, I got Sam Pittman. Who do you have?
I have Hugh Freeze.
By That's the way, fair. I have Hugh I Freeze Hugh ahead Freeze. Of Sam Pittman at 9.
He's the toughest coach to rank because he last coached in the SEC. That was 2017.
But he's done it, and he's beaten Alabama consistently. He's done it. And that's the only. And I understand it's been a couple of years. I get it. And I think Sam Pittman's done a nice job. But I've seen Hugh Freeze win big games. I've not seen Sam Pittman win big games yet. I haven't.
But what was his peak? His peak was about 9-10 wins, you know, most years. He was around 8-4 basically every year at Ole Miss. Yes, I've seen him win those big games, but there's just something about the way that ended several years ago in Oxford.
It was bad.
Can't
yeah.
get it out of my head.
It was bad. So do you have Sam Pittman a spot ahead of him?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you and I have those flopped right there. Yeah, I just, you know, we'll see, but I just, something about seeing him win those big games in this league, that just kind of lasts with me. I remember, you know, Arkansas a couple years ago, started the season off 6-0, whatever, was in the top 10. And sure, they had a, you know, a gauntlet stretch there towards the end, but I mean, hey, welcome to the SEC. I just haven't seen Arkansas under Sam Pittman win big games yet. Don't think he's not doing a good job. I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm putting too much stock in those wins back in 2016 and 17, but that's kind of where I am right now. Your seventh highest coach. Actually, no, that is halfway right there. That's how math works. We'll get into the other top half of our rankings. Who is the number one coach? Better said, we all know who's going to be number one. Where does Josh Heupel rank in the top half of the SEC head coaching rankings? I'm Eric Kane. That's Logan Ward as you listen and watch Locked On Vols. All right, we got a final segment left here of this Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Logan Ward's in here. Shout out Everydayers. You guys may be laughing at me because I suck at math. No one told me that math would be a part of this job.
That's right.
We only did six there because I'm stupid.
What would you do without me?
I don't know. I guess I don't know how I've survived this long, right? The number eight coach, going in reverse order, I've got Shane Beamer.
Okay.
And again, I'm putting a lot of stock in his. I think Shane Beamer is a child. I think his antics on the sideline last year during the Tennessee game in particular was just the stupidest thing. Everybody wants to make the jokes and everything, but I swear to God, there is real life 100 emoji Butch Jones vibes. Swear. Can't escape it. You can't escape. When it ends, and it will because no one's Nick Saban, it's going to end very badly. It's going to end very badly. However, right now he's recruiting well. He's got big wins. He's got a fan base turned around. Everybody loves him. Shane Beamer's at number eight for me. Maybe I should have put Jimbo Fisher there because he's overpaid. He's overrated. However, Jimbo Fisher has at least won big-time football games in his career, where Shane Beamer is starting to get there, but, I mean, at least the stage, he hasn't even met that stage yet.
My number eight, I do have Jimbo Fisher. Now, me and you last offseason, we had full-on arguments about, hey, I said Jimbo Fisher was one of the best coaches in the SEC. Look at what he did at FSU. He won a national title. He had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Jameis Winston. Sure, he had some off-the-field, you know, circumstances go on, but hey, what great college program does not? Georgia just had another player arrested literally yesterday whenever we're recording this here. I think Jimbo Fisher, as you said, yes, he is incredibly way overpaid. He'd be fired at Texas A&M after last year if his buyout wasn't $75+ million.
It goes down to like 57 next year. Like, who cares? If you don't want him, but you got the money, get rid of him.
I have started to subscribe to this. I don't think that they're going to get rid of him after this upcoming season because that buyout is so incredibly crazy.
It's what you get, man. I think he's so overrated.
Hey, he hired Bobby Petrino, so everything's okay.
I hope it all burns down. I do
like Weigman, though, their quarterback. I think he's really good.
I hope it all burns down. That's what I want. So I've got Beamer at eight. I've got Fisher at seven. You have Fisher at eight, and you have Beamer at six, seven?
I have Beamer at seven, yes.
Okay. All right, number six. I think you and I will both have Mark Stoops at Kentucky. No? Okay. I have Mark Stoops at Kentucky, number six. I'll go ahead and get into mine. Number six, Mark Stoops. When the SEC goes to nine conference games, it is going to be more difficult for Mark Stoops to reach that rolling contract, those incentives every single year. It's going to be a little bit tougher for Mark Stoops to continue to get the wins that he has the last couple of years. Think he's a good coach. Think he built the team the right way. Think he's made smart decisions in terms of coordinators. I think he's done a great job in the transfer portal. But I think the worst thing for Mark Stoops is when the SEC goes to nine conference games, because you're not going to get the gimmies of Missouri every year, of Vanderbilt every single year. you know, et cetera, right? But I think Mark Stoops done a well of a job, but I would have him at number six. Who would you have at number six?
Number six, I have Lane Kiffin. Now, it was between
him and Stoops.
You think
Stoops is better than Kiffin?
I think Stoops is more of a proven product. Okay. I think that Lane Kiffin certainly, and maybe it's just because Ole Miss is a way better job than Kentucky, the ceiling for Lane Kiffin is definitely, I don't want to say way higher, but it's higher than Mark Stoops. He's just more of a proven product. I have seen Lane Kiffin blow up rosters here at Tennessee and USC and not succeed at all. Now, at Ole Miss, what he's done through, you know, several years, yes, very impressive. I do think that both of these guys are about 9-3, 8-4, and that's like an average year for them would be 7-5. A really good year for them at those two jobs would be about 9-3. I think they're very close. I still just trust Mark Stoops a little bit more. That's why I'm going to give him the edge over Lane Kiffin. He's just more of a proven product.
I mean, you are the known Tennessee hater. It's incredible. So I can't believe this is what's going to happen. I'm about to lose the fan base here. You have Kiffin at six. So if we're going to number five right now, that's where I have Josh Heupel.
Really?
And here's why I have Josh Heupel behind Lane Kiffin, because I have Lane Kiffin at four. Here's why. For a lot of the reasons why you just said you just trust Mark Stoops a little bit more, he's proven, yada, 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 yada. Look at what Lane Kiffin has done in the Southeastern Conference. 2020, 5-5, 6-4, whatever it was, had the great year in 2021, lost his quarterback, lost his O coordinator, lost his D coordinator, lost talented wide receivers, all this type of stuff. And he goes back and finishes the season ranked inside the top 25. He had no business doing that. With Jackson Dart, who's not even going to start this year because he sucks.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not trying to be a Lane Kiffin believer and all that type of stuff. I just think, like, in terms of I've seen it, like, year over year, that's why I would have him ahead of Josh Heupel right now, because I love everything Josh Heupel's doing. I think Josh Heupel has the higher ceiling. I saw what Josh Heupel did last year. What are you going to do this year? It might not be 11-2, but could it be 9-3 with a bowl win? That'd be a hell of a year. After losing all that type of stuff like Kiffin did. So that's kind of, it is so minuscule, right? I mean, the margin is so thin, but that's kind of how I would see it right now. I thought Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss would take a ginormous step back last year. It took a step back, but it was pretty impressive despite everything it's lost.
I do think they're the most dangerous team this season. They had the running back in Judkins, and also they added Spencer Sanders, who, let's remember, he almost went to the college football playoff 2 years ago. So that guy's a really good quarterback. He probably should start for Ole Miss. We'll see. Jackson Dart's definitely going to play. My number five, I'm going to have Mark Stoops. He's just a solid coach. He's a proven product. I know his worst season is probably going to be that 7-5 year. Every 3-4 years, he's going to jump up and be 9-3, you know, 10-2. I also, like I said, talking about the quarterbacks, the offensive line, really, you know, both lines of scrimmage last year were an incredible issue for Kentucky. People were hating on Kentucky after week two or three. Then they went down to the swamp and beat a top 15 Florida team at the time. Florida was a little bit overranked at the time. We all can realize that. But I'm going to value what Mark Stoops has done because I've seen it. I also love the offensive coordinator rehire in Liam Cohen. So I have Mark Stoops number five.
Who's your number four?
This might be a hot take.
It's got to be Josh Heupel.
I have Brian Kelly number four.
Okay, that dude. Who are you? I am the one that loves Mark Stoops. I told you I had a hot take. According to you, I'm the one that's the big Tennessee homer here. I've got Heupel fifth, Kiffin in front of him. I got Stoops sixth. You've got Stoops all the way up here. You're gonna have Josh Heupel at number three in these rankings. How about it?
I have Brian Kelly number four. What he did at Notre Dame was really nice.
Real quick, just rule the show. Anytime we talk Brian Kelly on the show, we have to say, great coach, horrible human being.
Exactly. Sorry. And with that, I do think LSU will win the SEC West this year. They won it last year. I understand that. They also didn't look that good outside of the last, like, maybe four or five games. After the Tennessee game, they started to look pretty good, knocking off Alabama, getting a big win over Florida down late. I have him number four. I think he's one of the most, I don't want to say undervalued head coaches, just because a lot of people, as you mentioned, good head coach, not a great human being. That's why we kind of undervalue him. Mm-hmm. I have Brian Kelly number four. So number three, yeah, I have your boy. I have Josh Heupel there, number three.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Why?
I think we can now put him in the category of he's going to receive the benefit of the doubt. What he did as an offensive coordinator in the SEC at Missouri, at Oklahoma, sure, they won a lot of big games over there in Norman. What he did at UCF, taking over for Scott Frost, where people were saying, okay, can he follow up a national championship winning head coach in Scott Frost? No, he didn't win a national title down there at UCF. But
not
hey,
many teams do. I mean, exactly, national titles, right?
Hey, in not many years did you get two national title winners. So hats off to Danny White and company down there in Orlando. But I do think, though, Josh Heupel, he is now going to receive the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you had Joe Milton inside the top five of your SEC quarterbacks. I think that says enough because, as we've mentioned, that guy's only started four games here in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. He was basically told to leave Ann Arbor, Michigan by Harbaugh because he didn't live up to the hype. Whoever his quarterback's going to be, whoever his receivers are, the main question last year was Cedric Tillman and who else? Well, Jalen Hyatt won the Biletnikoff Award and scored 14 touchdowns. You know, 14 touchdowns. So, 15. I think 15. So, just receiving the benefit of the doubt alone, that guy is going to receive that because that dude just puts up points no matter who his players are.
I never thought that we would reach a day where I was not as positive about the subject matter than you, but I mean, golly,
and
man,
he beat Nick Saban and he whooped Brian Kelly down in Baton Rouge last year.
Oh, I mean, I think he's doing a heck of a job. I guess the way I look at things is, you know, stack it year after year. That's kind of how my mind works. And like, I guess just the response that, you know, what Kiffin did in Oxford this year, despite everything that he lost, was so impressive to me. So that's kind of why I have it there. But I mean, I think Heupel, one of the bright young coaches in the game. I think Heupel's one of the most dangerous coaches in the SEC. I think he's doing great things at Tennessee. So, but I mean, hey, it's the SEC.
There's room for improvement, sure.
Yeah, you get the best of the best. So if you have Heupel three, I have Brian Kelly three. We can all agree two is, I would assume we can agree two is Nick Saban, and one is Kirby now.
Yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, you know, sure, Nick Saban might be the better coach when it's all said and done, obviously, but, you know, Kirby right now, you can't argue with back-to-back national titles. All right, got to run, man. Great stuff. That was fun. That was an easy show to do, pre-do, you know, before leaving to go out of town. That was fun. It's topical anytime, any point in the offseason. We'll bring you back on here to do some more off-season content pretty soon. Logan Ward, follow him on Twitter at LoganWard98 still.
Yes, that's correct. And hey, you know, for the listeners out there, I don't want anyone, I think it would be a true shame for me to go on Twitter after this is posted and to see a whole bunch of Eric Kane is a Vol hater tweets. I think that would be really unfortunate to see after he has Lane Kiffin ranked ahead of Josh Heupel.
And if that's the case, I will respond with the picture of you that literally has Vol hater.
Exactly.
You know, pick stitched onto that little picture there. So anyway, I had a whole lot of fun. Appreciate it. If no one's not, you know, people are bitching at you for one reason or another each and every day, you're not doing your job right. Lockdown Vols at _Kaner on Twitter at Lockdown Vols. Please subscribe to Lockdown Vols on the YouTube channel and wherever you get your audio listens, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Music, Apple Music, you know, we're everywhere. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll finish off a week's worth of Locked On Vols. Appreciate it, and we'll see you then.